Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
This week on Rewind, your week in review. Governor Tony Evers says without changes to the GOP shared revenue bill, he will veto the proposal. We explain whether there's room for compromise. Plus, how Milwaukee leaders are responding to the wide-ranging proposal that restricts local control. And the Joint Finance Committee kicks off the budget crafting season by removing hundreds of policy proposals backed by Democrats. All this and more on Rewind, your week in review for May 5th.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
Well, we have quite a bit of developments on the shared revenue front. It was last week that we had just a little bit of the framework and some of your reporting on some of the major provisions. But we got a bill on Tuesday. And 2 days later, on Thursday, Governor Tony Evers is vowing to veto it if there are changes not to the bill. So let's just recap for our viewers of setting the stage of what this bill would do and some of the things that the governor is not a fan of. So the bill specifically would provide $227 million in new funding for local governments. That's a 10% increase for each municipality. But each municipality would be subject to a set of rules or things that they would have to follow, such as collecting data on the number of crimes that occur on school grounds, banning local advisory referendums. That was something new that we didn't know as of this week. Approving projects under the state's land stewardship program north of U.S. Highway 8, they would have to get approve those projects first, and prohibiting health officials from closing businesses for longer than 2 weeks. And another interesting point is that they could actually lose funding, 15%, if they don't meet two out of the four of these criteria, such as maintaining police and fire funding. They can't make any position cuts. They would have to maintain the number of traffic tickets and the number of arrests. So looking at this, once again, this is a lot of provisions that Republicans have long wanted. So they put all these in there, hoping that they could sneak them in, but it was also a 133-page bill. There was a public hearing on it on Thursday, and this is when Evers announced, you know, I'm not going to sign this unless you guys do something to it. So let's hear first from Governor Evers talking about some of those provisions that he doesn't like. And also, we're hearing from one of the bill's sponsors, Senator Falzkowski, said, well, you know, we're open to making some changes. It's all part of, quote-unquote, the sausage making. So let's take a listen.
The state must step up more than what I've seen. It's why I can't support the Republican plan as is, and frankly, I'll veto it in its entirety. Frankly, also, let's kind of remove all those restrictions that the legislation was putting on those local folks. You know, here in one way, we want to bring them more money, and in another way, we want to take more control away from them. It doesn't make sense. Send me a clean bill that talks about the money that we're going to give to the municipalities.
I know we have been talking about it in caucus for months. And also the other side has been involved in these negotiations, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because as soon as I hit the gavel, the governor put out a press release that he will veto, threatening to veto this. I just want to make this clear to everybody here. They've been involved, so we're already starting the saber rattling, and there will be some adjustments and changes to this bill, correct? Okay.
Part of the sausage-making, representative.
There was always this question of where the governor stood before Thursday. You know, I grabbed him in the Dells on Wednesday asking him about many of these provisions because some of them are, you know, GOP-authored bills that he's vetoed before, and he said he was disappointed about it. So almost it was not unexpected that he said this, but Republicans also didn't take it very lightly, especially GOP leaders who've been working with the governor and Milwaukee leaders to craft this. But we kind of had a sense if there's all this other additional requirements, specifically taking away local control, I had a sense the governor wasn't going to, you know, like those type of things.
So the question I have is, what could they take out to get Evers to a yes?
Right.
The first thing is the referendum question. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and Milwaukee Mayor Kevler Johnson both said, if you go to referendum, it's maybe not won't pass because that revenue would be tied directly to mean the pension obligation. It wouldn't be like, now Evers, go back to his plan, he had a 1% sales tax increase shared by the city and county, also required a referendum, but it's not tied to paying off pension obligations, use it any way you want to, and it's only 1%. The combined impact of those two property our sales tax increases would get you to 7.875% in the city of Milwaukee, at least. So it's a much tougher sell. With the other provisions, the Milwaukee stuff, the local things, can you take out a few of them and get them to a yes? Like if you gave up the referendum thing, allow the common council and the county board to approve the sales taxes, could you get the rest of the stuff you wanted on Milwaukee, everything else, and get yours to a yes? That's my question. Where's the trade-off for Evers in terms of he's not going to get a clean bill? That's not going to happen. Republicans are not, this is like you talked about last week, this is the price of admission for Republicans to okay these things for local governments. What can Evers swallow and still sign the bill? That's the question. Where is that fine point, that sweet spot negotiation to get him to a yes?
Right, and there's been a lot of, I guess, some eyebrows raised about the funding formula, but that's why we kind of want to talk about mm-hmm. this, because looking at this next slide, it's based on per capita. And yes, in general, smaller communities were going to get more piece of the pie per se, but also counties kind of got a little bit of a sweeter deal as well. So there's a lot of variety mm-hmm. in these results that we're seeing right here, because take, for example, Isabel. It's a small town in Pierce County. They're going to get over an $1,100 increase, but they're only getting $34,000 compared to, you know, a Dane County, one of the largest counties, I would say the fastest growing county in Wisconsin. Sure, they're actually getting a bigger percentage, but only seeing a $4 million increase. So wanted to just explain this, because I don't think we're going to maybe see changes with this mm-hmm. formula specifically. It's more about the provisions that we're seeing issues with, but there is a reasoning behind all of this.
So the main thrust of all this is to help smaller communities. If you look at the municipalities, for example, for start, we have a pot of a formula for those who are less than 5,000 people. We have 5,000 to 30,000 and 30,000 and above. And the whole idea was we Republicans want to help those smaller communities because in their minds they get shrifted in the current system. So, little history lesson. We've had shared revenue for years and years and years. We have not had a formula, though, for about 19 years, because shared revenue has gone through like several cuts over the last two decades. The last one, they basically said, okay, no more formula. We're taking what you get right now and just going to change that amount each year for statutorily required changes. So we're locked in. The old formula before that went away really is kind of based on per capita. And the idea that if you were a community that could not raise a lot of revenue locally because you were poor, you'd get more shared revenue to make you kind of on par with everybody else. So some of these disparities you're seeing are because these communities got very low per capita payments under the old system. Well, it's actually the current system, but the old formula. Now they're trying to level it out. So oddly enough, Dane County and Waukesha County were very low per capita payments under the old system. Even to today, they're very low, like $250 a person. Other places are like $95 a person for counties. So you're seeing, even though Dane County is growing and growing significantly, they kind of got the short end of the stick of the old system. You go look at the cities. So again, munis, fewer than 5,000 people, you got first off a $30,000 boost no matter what. Like that was the entry fee basically, right? Mm-hmm. Then you add in this per capita stuff. Oh, one thing about the counties too. There's right now in state law a limit on your property taxes you can raise, right? It's basically net new growth. So if you're a growing county, you can raise more revenue than if you're not a growing county. They actually try to help those counties that aren't growing by giving them a sweetener. So per capita plus not growing a whole lot, you get bigger boost. For munis, it's size, right? That drives a lot of things, and per capita. So if you got little per capita on the old system, and you're small, you got the biggest boost. While you're seeing one community gets a 5,000% boost, right? That's $31,000. Now look at Milwaukee City and County. They are both at like the minimum, 10%, I believe, or roughly. I know it's the city for sure.
Yeah. County of Milwaukee is at about a 14.6% increase.
So, but lower end of the increase. The minimum's 10%. Look at those two together. Together, they account for less than 1 million people in Wisconsin. We've got about 5.9 million people. Collectively, the city and county get about 35% of shared revenue, county municipal aid. They are way out of whack in terms of per capita because they couldn't raise a lot of revenue in the old system, right? So they got high per capita payments under the old system. That's why you're seeing some of these changes or some of these different results in what's happening.
All right. Also just kind of want to highlight once again, kind of the provisions for Milwaukee, because we saw Milwaukee leaders, they didn't comment on the bill the day after it was released, because it was a big bill, but we knew there was going to be a public testimony. So on Thursday, we heard from them. And it's just this laundry list. Mm-hmm. I mean, this bill is massive. But most of it targets Milwaukee for a reason, right? I mean, we've been talking about this for a very long time because GOP leaders want something in return. They are not just going to write Milwaukee a blank check. And they're also going to want to try to get some of their priorities done. So they would, of course, still allow the county, like we've mentioned, to raise their sales tax and Milwaukee County and the city. It has to be approved by voters. All that money would have to be directed towards pension obligations, also some public safety measures. We learned that they would have to hire 25 school resource officers. It would also require the Fire and Police Commission to oversee policies of, quote, control and management of police and fire department transfers, prohibit any sales tax dollars from using on streetcar operations and extensions. We knew about that. Also, it would require the city to maintain current staffing levels at police and fire, requires an audit of the Office of Violent Prevention, I mean, on and on and on. And the city wouldn't be able to spend any more than 5% of the county's total budget on entertainment matters or other nonprofit groups. So this has been a huge issue for Milwaukee leaders because they thought they negotiated a good deal, but they probably learned a lot more other things are included in this. And that's what Mayor Johnson specifically talked about during his testimony, is that things went well, but not everything in here is going to be an easy sell. And once again, how are you going to convince voters, say, hey, sure, raise my taxes to pay for your pension problems? So let's just hear from Johnson during his testimony.
The City of Milwaukee requests that this bill be amended to enable the Milwaukee Common Council to enact a local sales tax component. A referendum adds significant uncertainty. And next year, none of us want to revisit the work that all of us have done to get to this point right now. It's my strong preference that the bill be amended to allow the city's Common Council to enact the sales tax. Common Council members in the City of Milwaukee are close to the communities they represent and can make informed and timely decisions on behalf of their constituents that move Milwaukee forward. Finally, there are some provisions in the bill which I and others have a strong aversion to. Look, I want local elected officials to make decisions about purely local matters. So when it comes to where police are deployed, to what transportation options may exist, or how civilian oversight of the police department is structured, I ask that you leave those types of issues in the hands of Milwaukee and not Madison.
So they want the ability to raise their sales tax throughout going through referendum. That could maybe change. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But we know they're going to take a hit regardless. A lot of these provisions that I just listed off, I could say what's almost maybe likely, most of them are going to stay in there. But that is going to be the sticking point of what they're going to have to give and take, because if they don't pass this referendum, or if they don't solve their pension problem, I mean, they're on the brink to going bankrupt.
Yeah, so listen to the mayor, this county executive. They talked mostly about the referendum question, the tough sale that it would be, because you're talking about fixing old mistakes. Remember, the sales tax revenue would go to pay pension obligations. All new employees, city and county, would go into the state system. Once you've paid off those obligations, the sales tax goes away and the county and city pension systems go away as well. You'd fix it once and for all. This is a lifeline for the county and the city in terms of finances because they don't have a good option otherwise. The question is still, what could change? In talking to Falskowski and Kurtz, who are the main architects, they both told me Wednesday that yes, there's still debate about whether to do a referendum, the city and county, or enabling legislation, which means the county board and a common council could approve the sales tax increases, especially in the Senate caucus, Falskowski said. There's some debate about that. The Milwaukee provisions, Falskowski said, there are some members who like these provisions, some who go, ah, and some who go, that is crazy. You know, like, why are we doing this so much for Milwaukee, to Milwaukee, I should say. Then there's the other like detail, like this amazing effort with law enforcement. So you have four options, right? It's expenditures, people, citations, and arrests. You meet two of four in a year. It can be any two of the four, and it can change from year to year. But there's a state law that says you can't create a quota for a law enforcement officer for citations.
Right.
Is that a de facto quota? Kurtz told me, hey, we're going to look at that, see if there's anything you want to tweak about it. We haven't really looked at it that way before. So there's going to be changes. Again, where's that sweet spot between what Republicans demand to have to give this money to Milwaukee and what Evers has to have to feel comfortable signing it, and the reality of the Milwaukee County executive and mayor going, I don't like this so much, but I got to take the deal to get what I need for my city and community to pay the bills.
Right, and I think it's important to note too, JR, that this is moving so quickly mm-hmm. through the legislature. I mean, not even after 48 hours it was introduced, we had a public hearing on it. Republicans are wanting to get it on the floor very quickly, but now, of course, Evers is threatening this veto. Does that slow things down or does it not? I mean, and then just I think the Senate, as I've said before, is like always just kind of this whole nother beast, right? There's a lot of different members in there who, like you said, are not even a fan of it, say maybe it goes too far. Why don't we just trim the bill? So there's just a wide ranging of emotions, I should say, about it.
I had somebody tell me that the Assembly passed this bill as is right now, the Senate would get it and change it and send it back. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're on the same page yet. And now if they want a deal before they pass it, it could take a while. If they're going to pass it back and forth, somebody could go sometime this month yet and get it done.
It was a busy week. So yeah. Let's now move on to Joint Finance, who actually took one of its most significant moves to kind of kick off the budget crafting season, which was removing more than 500 provisions from Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. They met on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, but Tuesday was kind of the big day, the big show for, I guess, cameras and a lot of reporters come out to it, because this was expected, though. I mean, you know, this was no surprise. Joint Finance has done this for the, you know, all the years that Evers has been in office, his last budget, this current budget. But, you know, that didn't really stop, I should say, Democrats from kind of trying to make their pitch of why a lot of these provisions, which are policy-oriented, medical marijuana, paid family leave, expanding Medicaid expansion, but Democrats kind of still, you know, made their arguments. They tried to pass a motion to put a lot of these back in there. It didn't work. The motion failed 12-4. So let's just first just kind of hear from Democrats and their argument. It was Representative Goyke saying, you know, if we don't act on this now, he kind of fears that Republicans are kind of not going to give much-needed funding boosts to many areas. Meanwhile, Mark Bourne, one of the co-chairs, said, you know, there's still time for compromise. There's still time for us to invest in education, health care, mental health, transportation, things that are typically not partisan ideas. So let's hear from both of them, and then we'll get into what else the Budget Committee decided to keep in.
People are voting with their feet. And they are saying that the policies that the Republicans in charge in Madison have enacted are not what they want. No one is coming to save us but us. And yet you guys have your head in the sand saying it's business as usual in the legislature. And if we don't start today and make these critical investments in housing and local government and healthcare and education and infrastructure, we set the stage for incredible economic pain because our workforce will not be able to meet the demand.
What we see is the policies that are a lot of the government expansion and the government control that we're rejecting in this motion is what you see in those other states where people are using their feet and they're leaving. When the solutions, apparently, from the Dems are more government, more spending, more welfare, smoke more weed, yeah, our approaches are going to be different. It's going to be a budget that's made for Wisconsin.
So they slashed quite a bit mm-hmm. out of there, but they did keep some areas in there, like a child. It's not a child tax credit.
Child care credit.
Payments.
So they stripped everything on the governor's budget in one way, in one sense, but the key is the 545 things they took out because they can't talk about it again. So basically what they did, they're basically trying to tell the Democratic members of the committee, you cannot bring up Medicaid expansion again the rest of this time. So what happens in this process for people at home is we go through every line of the budget, and you can write up motions to add things in, take things out, whatever you want to change. By stripping out those 545 things, Republicans telling Democrats, you can't bring up a motion that would restore legalizing marijuana. That is off limits to talk about the rest of the budget. Another vote they took was to go back to base. Base is current law, right? That strips everything else Evers put in the budget out of it. So we're starting from current law for this entire process. However, if it was taken out by going to base, but on that list of 545, you can bring it back. So like $10 million a year for early literacy, that could come back in a new form down the road. There was a vote on Thursday to add money to the Medical College of Wisconsin for psychiatric residences, right, to try and create more psychiatrists in the state. It matched what Evers wanted to do, $7 million investment. So some of the governor's priorities are getting done. They're just adding them back in this process.
And they'll be discussed at a later date, too.
Yes, and they'll come up later on. So it was an interesting, again, I think education is going to be the main thing to watch. Do they get enough money in education-wise to make Evers happy? You can sign the bill. And what they do with the tax cut. You know, a lot of this stuff is going to be like the last two cycles where they, Democrats will argue they pull Republicans toward where they want to be. Republicans argue the governor can't outrace him no matter what he wants to do. They do what they want to do. But somewhere they get to a point where it's, I don't know, kind of a happy medium a little bit. And that question is, what will Evers sign? What's his bottom line going to be? Education is going to drive that.
Right. And Republicans, they control the committee. They control the conversation. Mm-hmm. But also, they met again on Thursday. Democrats tried to pass another motion to ensure more accountability and transparency when it comes to investigations, quote unquote, the Gableman investigation, saying we shouldn't be having, you know, what they call a sham investigation. I mean, there was no evidence that came out of that. Yeah. Taxpayers are still on the hook for that. That failed. So it's just going to always going to be this pull and tug of, as they continue to.
But that's
meet.
A perfect example of like what that 545. Item motion did, because the original motion from Democrats said you have to get permission to hire outside counsel, period. Evers had a provision in the budget, his budget, saying something similar. So the Dems had to strip out that one line about hiring outside counsel to complain about the Gableman thing in their motion.
Yeah.
Very technical, but it shows you like what the power of that first motion has on future discussions about the budget.
And it sets the tone going forward. Yeah. All right. Also this week, very busy, there was the first oral arguments on Wisconsin's lawsuit challenging the state abortion ban. The oral arguments were on Thursday, and a Dane County judge heard from both sides, which is basically about a Republican prosecutor seeking to overturn Attorney General Josh Call's attempt to repeal the 1849 ban. So attorneys filed a motion to dismiss Call's lawsuit, but the judge today decided not to rule on that. But this is just kind of the latest step in the ongoing legal fight that is almost certain to be brought for the state Supreme Court. So kind of what we heard today is likely the same tone and arguments that we will eventually see around August, maybe late fall, because on August 1st, incoming Justice Janet Protasiewicz will be sworn into office. So almost in a, I mean, it's fair to say, regardless of how this judge rules, mm-hmm. we're going to see another challenge
kind
in
of
the High Court.
Kind of interesting. One of the main things that happened during the hearing on Thursday was, okay, that's 1849 ban abortion. The judge kind of asked, well, what if that only applies to infanticide? There's a 1994 state Supreme Court ruling that dealt with this issue. A guy had punched his pregnant wife twice in the stomach, killed the fetus, and he was charged under this 1849 law, and the Supreme Court said it clearly applies to infanticide. Okay, well, is that all it applies to? Does it also apply to consensual abortions? Mm-hmm. Now, the Joel Romansky, the Sheboygan County DA, who is the one asking to have this dismissed, his attorney disagreed with that, you know, suggestion. But that's one thing to kind of watch, because today was about some standing issues, those kinds of things. We're not to the merits of the case, the real merits just yet. This is more of a, okay, Romansky wants it dismissed. John Chisholm, the Milwaukee County DA, and Ishmael Zam, the Dane County DA, both been sued as well. Chisholm wrote a letter to the court last week saying, look, I don't think Call has standing to bring this lawsuit because he's not impacted by what happens. However, he does agree that other people do have standing, these three judges do, and we need a decision. We need to know like what's going on with this ban and if it's going to impact people in Wisconsin going forward. So it's a lot to kind of parse through mm-hmm. in Dane County Court. And then, yes, eventually the Supreme Court will rule. And the question is, will it get it done before the 2024 election?
Right.
Hopes will be hanging out there after that.
Right. And Call has long argued that the 1849 law is very outdated mm-hmm. and that it contradicts with the 1994.
There was a 2015 law that 20 weeks.
1985, excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
1985 one is what I was going to say. It contradicts with that other abortion law that was on the books that supersedes it, is what he argues. All right. Let's get to stock picks.
Okay.
Rising this week is Road Builders.
Yeah. It's a little in the weeds.
Let's get
into
the weeds, JR.
All right. So in the shared revenue bill is a lot of stuff. One thing in there deals with quarries and local regulation of quarries, right? So Road Builders have been arguing for a long time, if we have local restrictions on quarries, it's harder to get aggregate, which comes out of quarries, to road projects. The more restrictions you have on when we can get it there, the more expensive it becomes. There's a package of things that would restrict local regulations of quarries. The governor's budget also had restrictions on local regulation of quarries when it comes to road projects. It was not on the list of 545 things taken out of the budget and shielded going forward by the Joint Finance Committee. So something's going to get done. The question is which vehicle, the shared revenue bill or the budget, and which version, the governor's or the shared revenue bill. The governor's was more, kind of not quite as expansive, whereas the one in the shared revenue bill is much longer, has a lot more detail to it. So just something to watch that this has been something they've been pushing for at least 7 years. And in fact, Governor Walker in 2017 vetoed a provision that had some of this stuff in it in that budget. So, but yeah, so they're really getting closer to a long-time goal when it comes to aggregate quarry operations.
And Mix this week, looking ahead to August, as Milwaukee is set to host the first Republican presidential debate. And now there's a big question. Well, is former President Donald Trump even going to show up?
Yeah, what do you do if you have a debate and the front runner is not there? And what's more, there's now this report in the Washington Post that Tucker Carlson, fired by Fox News, is talking to Trump about having like an alternate debate set up. I mean, could be just a circus for Milwaukee. I mean, this is supposed to be like Milwaukee's time to shine and have everybody come there and see. What do you do if it's like not everybody? It's just fascinating to watch what's going to happen with that debate, what it looks like, who's going to be there, who's going to host it. Oh, by the way, Trump's unhappy that the second debate was going to be at the Reagan Library, I believe. The person on the board of the Reagan Library is also on the board of the Washington Post. So he's unhappy about that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the question is, debates in general, how much do they matter anymore?
Yeah, who's watching?
We saw in the Supreme Court race just one. The governor's race just won. The Senate had two, if I remember correctly, in the general election. There's a diminishing value in these things. Go back to 2015 when it was Walker running. There were like multiple debates with like 18 people on the stage. It went on for. We might not have that system, so it's got to watch.
Right. And falling this week is diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, because we're hearing from Voss calling to end some of those, and there's going to be some role that Joint Finance might play.
So we wrote a story, one of my colleagues did it with Politics last week, about the number of positions at the UW system that are classified as DEI and how much is spent on. About $185, about $14 million roughly. We asked for those records because Voss had said in a radio interview that, in his words, the university has all this money to pay for stuff, including these positions. That might be a problem. This is a marker Voss is laying down of like what may be an issue for university system funding in the budget. Now, others picked up on our reporting, and Voss talked to them, saying, yes, he wants these positions to be pulled. In talking to UW president last week, Rothman, he said, look, there are statements, essentially, in the job application process that ask you, okay, have you experience with DEI, that kind of thing. They're going to review those statements as a kind of concession to lawmakers, but there's a hitch. There are requirements under federal law to meet certain diversity requirements for federal funding. If you don't address these things, you could lose that money. So there's going to have to be, even if we always want to go away, there must be a sweet spot again of like, what can you impact without threatening this federal funds? And oh, by the way, the joint finance actions on Tuesday took out all the DEI positions that Evers wanted in the budget as well. He's been pushing for a while now about doing this to try and look at the impact on communities of color, that kind of stuff. They want nothing to do with it. It's been a big buzzword for Republicans to get away with DEI.
Yeah, and I think we could see, I mean, they've even tried through some legislation to try to tweak that as well. So it's not the end of the discussion at all. All right, that will do it for this week. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
We'll see you next week.
This program was brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.